Federated just wants to say thanks to all local businesses in and around the state of Minnesota. You are our community partners, our neighbors, our families, and our friends. And when you need Federated, Federated is here to help. Visit federatedinsurance.com or call your local marketing representative to access trusted resources you may need during this pandemic. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun, crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Royce. So just when the Vikings got you, just when you think.
Got you.
No, they got me. Yeah.
They had me, too. I didn't see any way they could lose a home game here. But Dallas looked pretty good yesterday. They didn't look bad. I don't know where they've been all year, being this rotten, but that defensive player, the one that hit Cousins in the head and got the fumble and his safety, is it Walker?
Yeah.
He hadn't been playing, you know. He only started playing like three games. He's a beast. He's running all over the place. And they got some athletes, and our boys gave them encouragement early. So once you give a bad team encouragement. Plus, they're the only team in the league can say, man, if we can only get the 7 wins, we can make the playoffs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
The division. Yeah. If we can only get the 7 wins, we can win the division. You know, come on, boys. So, it was a bad loss. There's no doubt. But I think the whole lingo among us was, okay, they have these three mutts coming to town. Mm-hmm. Can they lose one? Mm-hmm. You know, can they lose one? And I was among those that said, no, they can't. They're playing too good. But they lost one. And the defense came back to what they were early in the season. That was their biggest problem.
Yeah, I don't think ultimately, if you have a run game, I don't think they can consistently stop you. Because the Bears didn't have one. Like, the Bears can't run.
No, the Bears can't run at all. And to join with that, they can't pass. But
that's true.
You know, they're horrible offensively. But and again, you watch Elliott a little bit, and I haven't watched him much this year. But he's like easy to discourage too. If it's his third quarter and he's got 6 carries for 20 yards, he don't give a damn. But yesterday, you gave him a little. Hey, this isn't bad. I can get a few holes to run through, and he got invested in it. Andy Dalton's, at his best, he was a middle-of-the-road quarterback, and now he's not that good. But I think he can make more plays for you than Ben DiNucci was a couple of weeks ago.
God, so, I hope so.
So, anyway, it's a bad loss. There's no doubt about it. And it is amazing, as well as they move the ball and, some of the great catches that were made and that they go 2-3 and outs there in the fourth quarter. You know, didn't you feel they'd at least, get back down there and make it exciting?
Absolutely.
So, bad loss.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
How about the Pollard 42-yard touchdown run on Chris Jones?
Is he still a Viking?
As far as I know,
he won't be by 5 this afternoon.
It's 12:10 right now in the afternoon on Monday as we record this, and he still is. But I think that's a top three worst tackle attempt since Zim got the job.
And it's not like Derrick Henry was running either. I mean, but Zim called him out, basically. Didn't say his name, but.
But the strip has a photo of him, like, just sort of looking at Pollard like, what? Yeah. Am I supposed to tackle him?
I mean, there's no way he's. And isn't it a shock that a defensive back who was cut by the Detroit Lions wouldn't be a stud? You know,
I said the same thing.
How can you be that hard up? But I missed the fake punt, but I read Craig's description of it today. Apparently, dummy. Chris Boyd goes out there for the fake punt and then waves at the punter like I'm open.
Before the snap.
Yeah.
Like he's jumping up and down.
Yeah, I said, throw me the ball.
It looked like a kid at recess in third grade. I'm open.
Hey, son. This is supposed to be skullduggery here. This is supposed to be a deep, deep, dark secret. But this is not supposed to. Sometimes, you know, one thing I love about football is the occasions when utter and complete stupidity
arrives.
Yes. That's one of the great things. And, you know, the guys, you know, we had two of them in 1 week run into the end zone and score touchdowns that ended up costing their team the game when everyone in America watching the game said, they're going to let them score right here, right?
Yes.
And they right. won't, but yeah. they won't be stupid enough to do it.
Right.
One was Todd Gurley, right?
Yes.
And who, by the way,
who had done it before, correct?
Yes.
Not scoring.
But Todd Gurley, with the kind of career he's having now, has got to take his touchdowns we can get him, even if they aren't trying to tackle him.
Might be true.
But, and then the other kid who, you know, but I happened to be watching TV for both those moments for some reason and was saying, okay, they're going to let you score here. Don't you know, run down to the two and lay down, kneel down.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I know it's an incredible game, and when you watch it from field level, from behind, you know, I never figure out how any quarterback ever completes a pass because it's all chaos out there. But, I mean, you are trained to do this, and it's incredible the stupidity that appears. You've been practicing. Obviously, that fake punt with Chris Boyd as the receiver has been practiced during the week 5, 10, 15 times, right?
Right.
Now, Chris, you come out here.
This is
you
yes.
just look like you're intent to get down there and cover this punt.
Yes.
You don't turn around and go, hey,
but that's
I'm
what
open.
I was gonna ask.
I'm
don't
open.
You part of the practice would be you gotta stay calm.
Yes, yes.
And quiet.
Yes, yes. Yeah. what is amazing is Dallas, even after he waved his hands, still let him complete the pass if they hadn't called the penalty.
Yeah, this
right?
is true too.
So yeah,
and then on the ensuing punt, Chris Boyd throws an illegal block to the back of a Cowboy player that gives the Cowboys the ball at their own 48, and they go down and score.
Yeah, yeah. He had a Chris Boyd and Chris Jones had a bad games there, and you know when you're down to what's Boyd supposed to be, third teamer?
Yeah, ideally, probably
when everybody's yeah. healthy. Yeah, so
second or third team, but yeah, ideally.
Well, anyway. It's it is, it, I love Zim pouting. I really love Zim pouting. It's I think
do you like it more on Zoom.
I think I do because he's kind of
like
isolated. He's kind of isolated there. He's kind of isolated there.
Yes.
In that Zoom, yeah. And he can't hide his disgust in a like looking at other people or anything, and. You know, right? I think the first question, wasn't it Thomason, the first question, how the tight end gets so open for the touchdown?
I don't know if it was the first
I think it was the first question. Hey, you know, and right away, he's got the RA. He's got the RA anyway because of Chris Jones and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's hysterical. Best, as I said on Twitter, best since Chuck McKenna covered the Vikings for the Strib in the late 70s. Early 80s. It started in Met Stadium. It might have carried over the Metrodome. But he was the Viking writer. And Bud had been here since 67 and always covered with reverence, right?
Right.
Absolute reverence.
Right.
Kloby, reverence. Sid, absolute, you know, greatest human being that ever lived. The beat writers were all, you know, Alan Holbert was, you know, he was a good enough guy, but he, you know, didn't challenge Bud. And
sure.
And McKenna comes in. He's kind of got that, you know, that late 70s, it's dope smoking look to him. You know, but he had the look. I'm not sure. I had no idea. I didn't hang out with him because he was obnoxious. But he drove Bud nuts. And even better, he made Sid insane. He made Sid insane. Sid hated him. Sid would yell at him when he asked Bud questions in that little tight room in Met Stadium, in that little coach's room. And McKenna, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's still with us or not, but he only lasted about 3-4 years. But he, you know, this was, but the Vikings were starting to go downhill.
Yep.
You know, they were 9 and, you know, instead of 12-2 and 13-3, they were 9-7, 8-8. You know, lucky just like this team to be in a mediocre division. But yeah, Bud couldn't it was all new to Bud, and Bud was, you could see him get irritated, but he, you know, he didn't.
As the question's being asked?
Yeah.
Because that's how Zim is.
Yeah.
Zim, you can see him being, when the question starts, he's PO'd.
But Sid was like irate. Sid was screaming at him, and that was before my time back at the Strip, obviously. But I'm sure he was in there screaming at the editors. You got to get rid of that McKenna. He's terrible, you know. And Jay Weiner was around then, too, and Jay would stirs things up, doing writing stuff. And, you know, Gelfand was their baseball writer for a while. Poor Sid had lost control.
The 70s had to not with Sid Hartman.
No, the idea that's when, 70s is when objectivity made a strong push.
Yes.
You know, that all of us young guys became.
You're right.
It was more, you know, we didn't care if the home team won or lost. And if we had a chance to rip the home team, we did it. And that was completely, you know, when you go back and look at, like, Gopher football in the 50s, even no matter what they were saying amongst themselves, you know, it was all, you know, it was,
right.
It was like, it was never out and out. You know, when the Murray went 1-8 in 58, I think it was 1-8 in 58. It was, the young team, blah, blah, blah. Kind of like the comeback that homerism has made now. But the 70s are when, the late 70s, early 80s, a lot of stuff changed, and that was hard. That was an adjustment because Sid, you know, he had been the sports editor in the 60s and in the early 70s. He couldn't control the staff anymore. They were just all, you know, who invented ripping in the Twin Cities, though? Fowler.
Really?
Bob Fowler came in from Detroit, and he was first hired at the Tribune, and he would write smart-ass stuff, and I remember him writing a game story on the Vikings in, I don't know, but the Falcons were new, you know, so it's mid-60s, late 67 or so, mm-hmm. And the Vikings stunk it out, and they were like 1-2, or it might have been, you know, they were 1-3, and his lead of the game story was, bring on the Falcons, ! And then he'd write like four graphs and then bring on the Falcons. And about, you know, in a 25-inch game story, he probably had bring on the Falcons in there like five times. And Sid was, Sid was very, very irate but that was kind of that's kind of fun.
Yeah, poke him. So who was the first sports columnist to rip?
I'm not sure. Let me see. 70s. Who was, Such's anti-dome campaign, pro-med anti-dome campaign. That was, you know, that was pretty novel. That was, you know, that was.
And again, Sid.
And Sid basically ran Joe off his column. So he had enough influence then. But he was fighting it on several fronts there. Sid, he was fighting Such. He was fighting McKenna. He was fighting to control the beats. It was a tough time for him, man. A lot of smart Alex who might have went home and smoked a little Mary Jane when we thought there was something bad about that. Anyway. What's our Cousins? I think the fans still want to be mad at Cousins, don't they?
I think some of them do.
Even though, now, when you look at, the last 2 weeks, the numbers have been good. The 2 weeks before that, he didn't have to pass, right? Uh-huh. The first two games in this winning streak were, 24 passes in two games, right? So the percentage and everything was good. But the last 2 weeks, his quarterback rating is like 140 or something, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your theory? He looks like he's more willing to, get out a little bit and try to make a play
And I think he can, if it's scripted, I think he's fine. My theory is this. Theory is that the way that they played yesterday in Zim's world was absolutely perfect. The problem is the defense can't stop teams.
Yes.
So they're not – the bad thing for them is if they are behind late, they're not built to come back. But Zim's theory on football is my team shouldn't be behind late because once they get a lead, my defense can hold it. That's the problem.
They do not 25 yards is about their outer limit for pass completions mostly, isn't it?
Thielen
makes a nice pad, but I mean, you got two great wideouts here.
Yep.
Man, Thielen's having a hell of a year again.
But the problem, Pat, is this. If they get the ball at their own 25 late, Dalvin's not a real threat.
Yeah,
if Dalvin's
true.
Not a real threat and I'm the DC for the opposing team, I can stop you.
Yes.
Because the guy that scares me is Dalvin.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, you can double both wide receivers, basically.
Yep.
And you can put a little pressure
on. And Jefferson dropped that ball, which he's got to catch.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good, though, man. He's good.
The long touchdown was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. You watch them when Irv Smith. Why did they become allergic to Irv Smith?
I have no idea why they do that. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, he caught two in a row, and then they. I don't know.
I don't know why.
But anyway, yeah, I don't think it's as if when you look at the playoffs, though, if they still got a good shot if they expand it to eight, you know, they're lucky they're not in the other league, the other conference. I mean, the AFC has, you know, you're going to have to win 10 in the AFC.
Yeah.
Here, 9 will, I mean, yeah. 7 will get you in the East, and then I think 9 will still get you in the NFC. The NFC is terrible. I mean, Green Bay has, their defense is pathetic. And that Valdez-Scantling will.
How about that fumble?
Turn it around.
Oh.
It was just shifting. Somebody just
touched it.
Touched the ball. Didn't even knock it out of his hand. And he was already in Rodgers' outhouse for a drop 2 weeks ago, right? Didn't he have a big drop? And like they had some play that they set up perfectly and
that's
had a big
very
drop.
Possible, yes.
And
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Gutekunst.
Hey,
God love him. He should be sued for non help. Why didn't they get him a receiver?
Can you imagine if the Packers had made a trade and gotten Jefferson?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
and
that's
have
who
Devontae
they wanted.
Adams and Jefferson.
That's who they wanted. And I've been badmouthed about saying that, but Dabowski told me that the reason they didn't take a receiver is that this guy was gone. And everybody said, well, they moved up to get Jordan Love, but they would have moved up to get Jefferson, too, if he was there. But if they had gotten... I guess they didn't feel like... I don't know. Maybe they didn't think the Vikings were going to take him. I don't know.
But if they had gotten above the Vikings and taken this kid right now and had Adams and Jefferson...
Yeah. Ed Devani is... He's leading the league, and he missed two games at least, right? Didn't he miss two games?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And it's... Rodgers is playing as good as he's ever played. He's got nothing to help. The defense is terrible, and he doesn't have really tight ends. He invented this tight end, this Tanyan or whatever his name is. So,
who's good? The Saints are pretty good.
But are they really? How bad's my guy Jameis that they decided to play Taysom Hill?
I think you should change the Jameis take.
Well, maybe A, I have to, but B, don't you think that's a little of Peyton?
Well, probably.
Saying... I'll show you guys.
I think James
there is a guy.
Him.
This guy here.
I think Jameis scares him with all those picks. Yeah, I think
probably,
it scares him.
Probably does, but you know, this guy's where? How their defense get so good? They're
I don't
they
know.
Hell, the Falcons. Done,
I don't. Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, are the Falcons that bad, or is their
I
defense
don't know.
Pretty
the
good?
The Falcons were. Ryan was having a good year statistically until yesterday, so I don't know. But
you're right because. Okay, I like the Cardinals. Seattle, I like the quarterback, but their defense is
their defense
awful.
Is worse than the Vikings.
Yeah.
And
the East is a nightmare.
No, the East are terrible.
I mean, someone's going to get a whole playoff game out of that division.
Yeah, but who would they go on the road to play that you'd say they can't beat them?
Can't beat them?
in the whole conference?
I don't know.
I mean, New Orleans.
Absolutely can't.
New Orleans, Breeze, if he's got 11 broken ribs, we're never seeing him again.
I got a question
he's
for
done.
You.
How I didn't do you even break, know he had 11.
How do you break? I asked Don that question. How do you break 11 ribs?
I don't know. It's like the inside scoop guys are trying to out alarm each other with 11 ribs. Really? It must be little tiny cracks or something.
Well, and he kept playing for a while there, so yeah. But yeah. 11 ribs, I didn't know you could break 11 ribs and still function.
Yeah, I mean, they can go to Green Bay and do the same thing they did to him last time if they end up going there. They can.
I think Arizona would be tough because of Kyler.
Arizona, yeah, I do too.
I think Russell.
I'm not predicting that they could go on a road and win one, but they're, you know, there's nobody that frightens you. That's for sure. Yeah. And in the other conference, there's about six of them that frighten you. I mean, the Ravens are 6-4, for goodness sakes, and we all thought they were trading. When they got our guy, we thought they were trading to go to the Super Bowl.
He's
now they
nothing.
Might not. Yeah, he's got his first sack yesterday. Mm. And you know, now I hear the Vikings being applauded for getting rid of him. Well, they went from a...
They gave up a
second rounder, and the best they can get back is a third, right? And I don't think it's necessary they're going to get back a third either. I'm not sure. So anyway, that was amazing. 1-4 at home.
Yeah, I know.
Not having people does make a difference.
Oh, it definitely does.
But
yeah.
But you can conversely you can go say, well, what do they want in Green Bay if there were people, you know? What are they?
Defense definitely has always thrived because the opposing quarterback can't think.
Mm-hmm. What is our view of the youth on the defensive ends? Just okay or any good?
I think Wanham might be good.
Wanham?
I think Wanham might be good.
Did he play a lot yesterday?
I would have to look at his snaps, but he's played pretty well since he started to get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Odenebo, I don't know. I can't tell.
And Holmes, all he did yesterday was make a bad, dumb play, right?
I do think that the one thing that is very clear is the interior of that line without Michael Pierce, who was supposed to be a big deal, is very weak.
One thing that I don't think it's in quite as bad in the NFL, and it shouldn't be, but one thing we saw again Friday at the Gopher game is for some reason the pandemic has made, I don't know if it's because of opt-outs or what's going on, but the pandemic has made officiating in the Power 5 level the worst it has ever been. And it's not because of the pass interference in the end zone on Purdue. There was like a couple of calls on the Gophers in the fourth quarter, the one pass interference defensively. There was nothing there. It just drives me nuts. Everybody's like, oh, you try to official? No, but if I'm officiating, my number one rule is, unless I know it to be true, I'm not calling a penalty. If it looks like it might be, I am not throwing a flag. I have to know it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the opposite. These idiots are just like saying, oh, God almighty, we called that bad pass interference penalty against the Gophers, you know, 5 minutes ago, so maybe we better call it the other way this time. And I would have liked to had a audio clip of what Jeff Brohm was saying to that official on the sidelines. That was not good.
He did his best postgame not to go after the guy, but that call, mm-hmm. And I know he used his hand.
There's a little,
but
yeah, well,
come
he
on.
Used it because the guy was, you know,
it was the normal.
Yeah, it was the normal thing. It was brutal.
But can you imagine if the Gophers had lost on that play?
What the Gopher holers
would be saying?
Yeah, we would be screaming for sure.
And people were trying to defend. Oh yeah, he bad pushed off.
I didn't. You know what's shock? I thought that quarterback was like mediocre as you could get, and he passed for 350 yards and 5 incompletions. I mean, he kind of threw a
Plumber.
Slow ball. You know, he didn't. He was not that good. He was.
The Gopher defense is that bad.
Apparently.
No, I think you were right.
Apparently.
I think you were right.
You know who looked god awful Saturday? Wisconsin. Looked terrible.
Yeah. I watched it.
I wouldn't, they're missing a lot of guys still, I guess, because of COVID. But they were brutal. They don't have any of the receivers.
That quarterback did not look good, Mertz.
Oh, no, he looked terrible. He looked brutal. And he looked better against Lavelle Neal's Illini in the opener. Well, but
you and I could put
this is only his, what, they've only played how many games now? This was only the third game, right?
Third.
Yeah. So, and he'd only played that, this was only his second, right? Or did he play?
No, he played.
He played all.
He got COVID after they won their first game, but then they took like 3 weeks off.
They took 2 weeks off.
Yeah, 2 weeks off. So then he came back and played.
Yeah, he looked terrible. They have no running game, which they've had for their whole lives.
Northwestern looks damn good, too.
Defensively, they're good.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're good. And the quarterback's good. You know who's good? Indiana. They were behind 35-7, right? They made it 35-28.
Did you see the coach's post-game talk, though? They kept showing it throughout the day.
He's crazy.
He's nuts.
Oh,
he's literally yelling, and I'm proud of you guys. I'm mad about the scar, but I'm proud of you guys. Yeah. And he's shaking.
Yeah,
it's
he's...
You need a sedative, my man.
He's an older version of Fleck. He's nuts. He screams. I heard his, like, Friday press conference or something, and he screams through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was...
You'd hate him.
I don't think he... I think he's the only head coaching experience he had was as a high school head coach. And then he was an assistant, and then they fired that Kevin, the offensive coordinator from Oklahoma that they brought in, who was doing pretty well there, but he was mean. He was too mean to the players, so they fired him. Okay, he's now the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, Kevin, whatever the hell his name is.
This guy is off his rocker.
Oh, God, he is nuts.
He makes Fleck look quiet.
Oh, yeah. But
because he's at top level the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Fleck says it with enthusiasm, but not at a screaming pitch.
Yeah.
He's
shaking.
By the way, he's a guy asking for 15
Kevin
yards.
Wilson?
Kevin Wilson, yeah.
Okay.
He's a guy asking for 15 yarders all the time. Fleck, he won't shut up on the sideline either. When he bitches about calls.
PJ?
Yeah.
Well, but PJ's thing is he's got to stay on this. He doesn't understand. You can't run out on the field every time you get excited.
And he's screaming and hollering about plays that aren't that controversial a lot of times. Now, that one, when they called that one defensive pass interference, he should have been screaming, but the other guy was. But that officiating crew, and they had a gal on, woman in there. Yes. I don't think she did anything. Did she ever throw a flag?
I have no idea.
She looked like she was spotting the ball.
She was spotting the ball.
She was spotting the ball, but I don't. It was like all these sexist, inept pigs that they were with said, whatever you do, don't throw a penalty flag. We'll take care of the bad
calls.
Well,
you know
what?
Good for her. She was the only one with reason if she didn't throw the flags.
I never saw her as involved in the conversation about what
when they called that Purdue tight end and I saw that flag, I said, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Like, it was a nice play, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really nice play. But that's the exact type of thing where these clowns think that you came to see them.
Here's what a football coach should look like. Perhaps not physically, but in deportment. Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the greatest. Did you watch that game last night?
No, I was writing.
So, there's 2 minutes to go and they're behind three and Mahomes got the ball and 3 minutes ago, and their problem is they score too fast. And the winning play is they had some kind of a route that got Kelsey, Mahomes had to drop, make time for himself like he always does and made it look like he was going to run. Mm-hmm. And then he just drops it into Kelsey in the middle of the end zone wide open. And so that 31-28 with 28 seconds to go, 4-point deficit, so 35-31, right? And Kelsey's over there, and he's giving Big Andy a back rub. He's giving Andy a back rub, like, you wise old guy. I mean, there's an ad, he's He's not screaming or hollering or anything. Once in a while, he'll complain to the officials, but not outrageous. But that's a relationship you like to see because it's genuine. Yep. It's not like, oh, we're doing community service and all that crap. You know, it's genuine, you know, you wise old chubby SOB, you know, it's it's and I mean Mahomes is like it. It's like Andy will think of something, you know. That's yeah. And if he doesn't, I will.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. That's the great thing is that Patrick is like, well, if you don't think of it, I will. So don't yeah, worry about
right.
it.
And
I got to take care of.
Andy had a quote on him today saying, "He's the best there is. I'm lucky to have him. The city's lucky to have him." You know, and. And it's it is amazing. I mean, they are 9-1, and they've how many have they pulled out? Like 5?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been
yeah, because Mahomes doesn't.
If they're within 6, and there's 2 minutes to go, they're going to win.
The Vikings get the ball with 1:37 left, and yeah, they're hyperventilating.
Yes. Right? Well,
what are we going to do? How are we going to get downfield? Mahomes is like, oh, here you take it. No, now you
yeah,
take
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
Kelsey runs a pick and he gets it.
Well, and one thing they really have going for him is everybody's terrified if he's going to go out and run for 20 when he's rolling.
Yes.
And he gets out of when the game's on the line, he gets out of Dodge too. He gets out. He wants to be in space to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll turn his back to you and run out that way too. You know, he'll run out that way because he knows he's got the legs, man. He's something. I don't think there's a discussion anymore as to who the MVP is it? I mean, it's him.
No, I think it's done
now.
He's
put Russell in the rearview
yeah.
mirror.
Yeah, Russell's
great. Roethlisberger's 10-0, but they're going to lose about 3 games. They're not great. They're going to lose about 3 games before they got to go to Baltimore. Baltimore beat them Thursday, I bet.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
Even though
they're Baltimore's lost 2 of 3, and
yeah. Oh no, I think they're I think they're 1-3 since they got our guy. Or whatever they are.
Ngakoue is the problem.
Yeah, could be.
And Lamar is Lamar's okay, good. But Lamar. No. I think Lamar can be figured out on tape. I think that's the thing. Mahomes can't be figured out.
Well,
that's the difference.
Mahomes is a much more accurate passer,
yep.
Don't you think?
Yeah,
Lamar is a great athlete.
But I also don't think you can scheme. I think if you scheme Mahomes, he's just going to beat you with something else. Lamar actually has a few go tos that if you take him away, you can beat him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you can it's easier to confuse him.
Lamar reminds me of the scheming that teams did for Kaepernick after the Niners beat the Packers on the read option that one year.
By the way, I guess I didn't see the Saints yesterday, but we had the read option made a comeback with Taysom Hill.
That's what Taysom was going to do. I watched the first half of the game.
Made a comeback with it. So, the NFL, though, they keep college football is just a cluster, but the NFL keeps playing their games.
Hey, why is college basketball going to try?
I don't know.
Like, I understand it's for TV.
I mean, why are they going to try the non-conference part of it?
I don't know.
You know, play your 18 Big Ten games and 2 non-conference games, but these you're going to end up losing. You know, there's 300 and some teams. You're going to end up losing 50 teams playing these dumbass.
Duke was supposed to play a game Wednesday that just got called off because Gardner Webb had had positive tests.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're even bothering with that portion.
No,
you're right.
Why don't you wait a month? What's the hurry? You know,
I don't know.
Gophers have a game tonight, right? Isn't it tonight? No. Next week. Wisconsin.
Green Bay. Yeah, Green Bay is coming to town.
They got a hockey game tonight. After
That's
2 days
right.
after
we
the,
got hockey, we got
we had
Ohio
hockey
State
Thursday, Friday, and now Monday, Tuesday.
Yes.
So that's combination. That's
thank you for reminding me. I watch
that's,
it.
That's a combination of. That's a combination of cutting down on travel, and also the Big Ten Network wants TV.
Just want programming
on Monday and Tuesday, right?
I think Motzko's got a team too this time.
Yeah, I think so. He's good.
They look good.
He's good. He's.
That young blue
he's a
line
calm, core? Yeah, he's a calm guy, but he's what he doesn't have that is a tradition with Gopher hockey coaches? Paranoia.
Did Wooger have the paranoia?
Well, Wooger, in the end, Wooger had it. Once, you know, Wooger didn't have paranoia for 10, 12 years when if you didn't make it to the Frozen Four, it was a disappointment, you know, because they were winning 75% of their games. But when they when it went bad, Wooger got him tight. Felt the tension. And,
okay.
And Lucia.
The Don definitely had the
pair. Don didn't have it, you know, when he comes in and wins back to back.
Right. No, he
somehow he clawed out that first national championship with Leopold, Ballard, and Paul Martin on his defensive crew. And then he won the next one with Vanek and two of those guys, right?
Yes.
So, but then he got as paranoid as it gets down the stretch.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The last few years, yeah.
Yes.
And he kind of went to that. He went through the full paranoid era of, I'm doing a good job. I got to keep this job. To the last 4 years, it was like bleep it. I don't care what they say. Right.
Well, what was the stretch where they didn't go? They didn't go to the tournament. The NCAA tournament for a few years, and then I think the one thing where I will say that college hockey would drive me crazy is the behind the scenes involvement of the parents that remains.
Yeah, although
that would drive me up the wall.
Maybe that's why some of these teams,
I wouldn't take their calls.
Maybe that's why some of these, you see, and when you're taking the 18-year-old high school,
that's
phenom,
what I'm talking about. That's why I want 26-year-old.
When you're at Union and you got all these 25-year-old guys whose parents are in the nursing home,
then I'm fine. Yeah, then that's what fine. I want. 26-year-old defensemen who are 6'5" with facial hair from Manitoba.
Yeah, right. That's true. Who played 3 years of juniors, didn't get signed, and then they started at a big time program and didn't get to play, so now they came here as a 22-year-old redshirt.
They're getting
fresh,
a lot of fights, they
freshman.
Drink incessantly, yes. And they play hockey on weekends.
I think that team we lost to Union,
oh God, they were
whatever
huge.
Year that was.
That was in Philadelphia.
I don't think I think there were. Gophers had 13 or 14 NHL draftees, and they had none.
Yeah, they had that Gostabir, right?
He might have signed as one of those free agents, but they didn't have any.
They also only had, because St. Cloud State played them in the regular season that year, they only had, I believe, two players on scholarship.
Oh, they were great.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
They were just all... Yeah, free money, like literally giving the money to play into hockey.
They literally kicked the Gophers' ass.
They did.
Mm-hmm. And I mean awesome. That physically.
Well, didn't they get like three right off the bat, and then the Gophers trying to fight back?
Gophers had no chance. But those are the kids I want if I coach. Because you know what I don't want? Some 19-year-old from Edina. Because I don't want you calling me and asking about ice time or line combinations.
Speaking of Edina and hockey, the great John Hankinson died on Friday. He'd been battling Parkinson's, 77 years old. Best known around here as the quarterback that Murray Warmath allowed to pass.
Really?
64 and 65. Sandy Stevens was an All-American quarterback, and he wouldn't throw 10 times a game. You know, they ran the option, basically.
Sure.
And the early option, you know. And Hankinson set all the, as he said all the passing records. He said, it wasn't too tough. He says Sandy was lucky if they let him pass. He said Sandy had him, and he was lucky if they let him throw 10 times. So Hankinson, and then he kicked her out a little bit, and then he was in Viking camp and stuff like that. And got into the real estate development business. Bear Path was one of his, but they had three sons, you know.
Yep.
Peter, Ben, and Casey all played for the Gophers, and Peter and Ben played in the NHL for a while. Peter was I went out and I looked it up, and I actually posted the column 1990, and Bonnie, the wife, John's wife, was it a cheerleader from Wilmer. And they met at the U as right off the bat. He was actually a ball boy for the Vikings, and she was on the Viking cheerleading crew in 61, and that's where they met. So they go back there.
Really?
You could call her a live wire, though. The first, like one of the first times I met her, she grabbed me by the shirt and said, you better start writing nice things about hockey. You know, she was a beauty. And I went out and did this thing. Ben and Peter were the Gophers in 90 were finishing, and Peter was a senior and Ben was a junior. Casey was only 13. He came along later, and it was a great column because they were like the opposite human beings. The Peter was
the boy. Oh yeah,
she called him the Republican and the Democrat. Bonnie called them.
I remember
and,
kids.
And there were some great lines in there. And the lead of it is Bob Speer was a longtime volunteer assistant with the Gophers back when the Gopher hockey program was one coach, one assistant, and then a couple of volunteers, including and Bob was. They were having their like senior night a couple of weeks before the season ended at home, and Bob was standing by the ice weeping, you know, crying. And Bonnie said, "What's wrong, Bob?" He said, "I don't know." He says, "I don't know if I'm crying because Peter's leaving or Ben's staying."
Every season, the Olsons would gather on their dock. With all the weeds and muck, no one would go into the water, except for neighbor Larry, who would stand in there to cool off amongst the thick weeds.
Hey, neighbors.
Larry.
But this season, the Olsons dropped a few Aquaside pellets into their lakefront. After just one application, the water was crystal clear. And turns out, neighbor Larry is a free spirit and a fan of skinny dipping.
Hey, neighbors.
Larry.
Oh, my.
Who knew'd? New.
Clear your lake or pond completely. Visit aquaside.com. State permit may be required.
So, it was just, that was when the Gopher hockey was this family of, and I mean, everybody says they're family now. You aren't family.
Right.
You know what family is? When Wooger, when they used to take the bus to Houghton, and Wooger's parents, Jake and Wanda, would be on the bus with them, and Mike Crowley and Bonin and make sure Jake had a 12-pack of beer to drink on the way back, and they'd have a few beers on the guys who were old enough would have a few beers on the bus on the way back from Houghton, and then they'd, you know, on Friday night after the game, Wooger's hotel room, the best you could come up with for a suite in Houghton,
yep,
would just, all the parents who made the trip would come up there. They'd all drink in the room, and Wanda apparently would sit in the corner, and Jake would never say anything. You know, Jake owned a bar, Woogs. He owned a bar over in South St. Paul, mm-hmm. And he would, I guess, open it and work the morning shift where he didn't have to talk much. But Wanda would, Wooger'd come in and say, "Wooger, you better change that first line as you're going to get fired." She'd chew his ass out about the way his strategy and stuff. I mean, that was, they were all like buddies, mm-hmm. You know, and the parents were, you know, if the kid came home and bitched about Wooger, the parents had slapped the kid in the head, you know, back in the old days.
The old college hockey fraternity might be among the greatest.
League.
Yes, the WCHA, that frat, yeah, was maybe one of the great stories.
Well, Mariucci's best buddy was Amo Bassoni, the coach at Michigan State. All those old Italians, and they'd all drink together. And they had the Blue Line Club, and I think I only went there once, but they had the old Blue Line Club, and Lucia put an end to it, I think. But the rival coaches would go to Jack's at, like, noon on Friday and get fed and they'd needle each other and, you know, have a good time. And, you know, a bunch of guys would sit around and have a couple of cocktails and eat lunch. And I'd tell them about their team. And that went on all around the league, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's.
But that was a real fraternity.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. I mean, you know that there are some that go for hockey in the winter around here when, you know, we had the North Stars, but we didn't have basketball yet, and Gopher basketball wasn't really a big deal. Musselman kind of made it, but when Marouche was the coach, he'd convince Sid to make a trip to Grand Forks with him or something.
Wow.
He'd go on a trip up to Grand Forks. Yeah, and then he'd say, you know, you'd have to go to this favorite bar of Mariucci's in Grand Forks and drive him back to the hotel, which was a block away or something, just because he was that tight with, you know, they were all in Cook Hall.
Right.
They were all in one, that little right. building. The offices were Cook Hall. That was it. So they all had little tiny cubicles, you know, little tiny offices next to each other, and they'd all been there for 30 years. And, you know, Snapper Stein would have a little jug in his, you know, if they wanted a little shot of brandy or something, they'd go down and see the trainer
yeah.
for every sport with about two assistants, Snapper Stein and that was family. This is all BS family, you know.
Yeah, well, it's
the Gopher football family, which, by the way, has, I looked it up, 45 staff members. That's a big family.
That's a very big family.
Including assistant graphics designer and good important stuff like that.
Gopher hockey.
$38 million they spent on football last year.
Yeah, and you know what? It's probably going to go up now.
No.
Gopher hockey across the street in the old building was great. Mm-hmm. I love the old. When they moved to the new, and they still had a ton of success, but the new building is, you know, antiseptic. It's fine.
Oh, the old building. The old building was great. I didn't go a lot, but I went. I'll never forget. Declan, the old building, they've just built this, like, platform yes. to make it a press box.
Okay.
And it was a platform above the seats. This is the pavilion.
Yeah, yeah.
And the design's the same.
Yep.
But they had a press box up there. There was a platform, and there was a steps going up. And when that place was full, I remember being there once, and there was these, like, three guys whose seats were basically behind the steps.
Yeah.
So they'd rush. They'd be up. They'd stand the whole game, and they'd run. When the puck went down to this end, they'd run over to that side of the steps. And when the puck went down to the other end,
couldn't see anything,
they'd
yeah.
run down to the other end of the steps. And it was unbelievable. Pat Micheletti, my favorite story about Micheletti, is he comes down to see his brother Donnie. Joe wasn't crazy. But Donnie was like a brawler.
Yeah.
So Americo, his old man was Americo, mm-hmm. Italian as you can get, right? And he'd great big car, some Lincoln or something. He'd drive down on Friday. He didn't like the Twin Cities. They'd drive back to Hibbing after the game, drive back down on Saturday.
Oh, you're kidding.
Drive back down. He didn't like that. Once in a while, he'd stay over if it was snowing or
something.
Right,
but they go back
and
forth.
But he didn't want it. But Pat's riding down as a kid. You know, he's quite a bit younger than Donnie, in the eighth grader or something. They get there, and before the game, they're skating around. They're going to play Michigan. And the big Dave Richter, right?
Oh, yeah.
A Michigan, big, tough North Star.
Great fighter.
He and Donnie are skating around, and they bump into each other at the blue line, in the, you know, and get in a big brawl, and they both get thrown out. And back then, before the game started.
Yeah.
And they both get thrown out for the weekend. You know, back then, if you got in a fight, you were gone for the week, especially if you got in a fight when the game wasn't going on. So, Micheletti, Americo, his wife, and Pat come in. There's no Donnie. You know, they're getting ready. There's 5 minutes. They get there 5 minutes before.
Yep.
They look. There's no Donnie. What happened? They got in a fight before the game. March back to the car and drive back to him.
Oh, they're safe for the game.
Awesome.
Yeah, the old man was so PO'd that he did was complain all the way back about Donnie.
And Pat was this little goal scorer.
Oh, yeah, but he could start a riot.
Oh, yeah.
He could start
just get out of it.
He could start a riot in a nursing home, for God's
sake. He just wouldn't stick around for it. He'd start and leave.
He was the Lindsman of...
Yeah.
He was the Lindsman of hockey.
But you know what he did? He parked himself right by the damn goal and scored all the time.
He was Dino. Dino a lot. A lot like Dino. But he could skate some, though. I mean, he wasn't totally immobile.
He started it, but he didn't finish it.
Oh, God, no. He could... You know, what was it Paul Holmgren always said about Lindsman? He would have played another 5 years if he didn't have to getting all those fights. You know, he ruined his shoulders from throwing haymakers because Lindsay would go, get the hell out of there and stick him with that little rat. You know, Sonmore had him.
Who, Holmgren?
Lindsay originally. In Birmingham.
Birmingham Baby Bulls?
When he had the fight. He had Glenn's goons. Glenn's goons.
That team would have been, the WHA would have been one of the greatest things to see.
The drawing he always had on his office wall out of the Cincinnati Inquirer. They're coming to town. The Birmingham Bulls Bulls, yeah. Coming to town to play Cleveland.
Yep.
And it's Sonmore, and he's got a chain, and he's got four guys chained up behind him. Bilodeau, Durbano, one of the Carlsons, and I can't remember who the other one was. And they're walking in, and they got blood on their teeth. They're coming off, and he's walking to Glenn's goons. It says that he's walking in. Sonmore was so proud of that, he had it on the wall. You know, so... Yeah, the WCHA in the day, man. That was the Sonmore, too. I mean, he was Marusha's successor. Anyway, that should handle it, huh?
We good.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Yes. If you have questions about your retirement savings, you want to work with a person that knows what he's doing or she's doing, whoever it is. In this case, Josh, do what I did and work with a person that you know you can trust. That is Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. This is Patrick Ricey. You need to see my guy, Josh, now, especially with what's going on in the markets today. You need Josh's straight talk, not any sugar-coated advice. Sit down with Josh for a no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation to review your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can learn how you can benefit from Josh Arnold's experienced and focused approach. Call Josh now at 952-925-5608. Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, 952-925-5608.
Investment advisor services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk.